Welcome back to the Truth Restoration Bible Study Conference Call. And if you're joining us just now, you can visit our website to learn how to get on our conference calls and to join us and to contribute if you have something to share or to say. And you can do that by visiting truthrestoration.com. But in the meantime, we're discussing the New Covenant. We're kind of shifting gears a little bit here as far as who is Israel, and there's a lot of overlap with these two topics for sure. But I know that right before we went to break, Andrew, I believe that you were kind of up next, and so if you wanted to just kind of jump in and continue on there, that would be great.
Okay. So let me ask this. In the Old Covenant, Israel, according to what you guys just said, that came in by believing God was, next step, circumcision, Passover. I mean, it went down through a list of statutes and ordinances that must be kept if you're going to remain in the house of Israel. In the New Covenant, if it's made with the house of Israel, not with Gentiles, how do Gentiles enter into this new covenant?
Through the promise, through adoption.
Romans chapter 11 describes it.
Now, is circumcision required?
A type of circumcision is required, yes.
Okay. And eating the Passover is obviously required, who is Jesus Christ. So,
is it required? Now, are you asking a question or are you making a statement?
Because if you think that that's wrong, well, then by all means.
I don't claim that that is a requirement to be part of the covenant. No, because then I would be saying, unless you keep the feast, then you're immediately out of the covenant. And I don't believe that.
Well, Andrew was saying you must keep the Passover to be part of the new covenant because Jesus is the Passover. He's making that comparison there.
Well, no, I got that, but that's why I said no. That would then be a requirement of salvation to keep the feast, and it's not.
Oh, well, I mean, but is it a requirement of salvation to partake of the Christ the Lamb? I think that's what Andrew's saying. It is. It is a requirement to partake of Christ the Lamb in that sense, right, Sean?
I guess in a looser use of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Lamb, and then you're partaking of him in that sense.
Right.
But it's two different senses. I'm just looking at it from a different perspective, right?
Exactly. Yes. That's right.
So from your perspective, the new covenant that's made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and these Christians that say they're in the new covenant but do not keep the laws and statutes of what you believe to be of the new covenant, they're not in the new covenant? For instance, keeping the Sabbath on Saturday. Well, then I'm not following you. I'm not understanding.
Right, because you're interjecting things that I'm not saying. So my original statement in the form of a question was, if the new covenant that's spoken of in Jeremiah and Ezekiel is made with the house of Israel and made with the house of Judah, period, then how can Christians say that they're the ones who are the partakers of the new covenant and not keep the judgments that were conditions of being part of that new covenant? That's what I'm saying. So it's either the same covenant. See, the whole point, Andrew, is this. If someone says, I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm a partaker of the new covenant, and the new covenant is all these new things, then they're painting a picture that's not fitting the prophecy of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It just doesn't fit, if that's true. So the only thing that can be true is they are part of that same new covenant. That new covenant is the same new covenant of Jeremiah and of Ezekiel, and we just have to iron out what those conditions are. It's either the same or it's different is what it boils down to.
Yeah, and like Romans 11 describes, the Gentiles, they have been grafted into the natural olive tree Israel. They've been grafted into it. So it's like an entity, and Gentile Christians are this other that are in the new covenant. The new covenant, like Sean's saying, is made with Israel and Judah, and Gentiles who want to turn from their wicked ways and join with the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same promises and the same promised covenant in Jeremiah and other places, they can be grafted into the house of Israel. That's how we become partakers of the new covenant. You know, and that's, of course, the good news for us.
You know, why don't we just read a little bit of Romans 11, and then I have another verse that I wanted to read, too, in Ephesians. But If you guys don't mind, I'm just going to start in Romans 11, verse 17. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in again. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? And then he goes on, and then in verse 25 says, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. And so, like, for me, that little section, it says so much right there. And even the part about the fullness of the Gentiles, so a hardening in part has happened to Israel, of course, to Israel of the flesh, but until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in to Israel, and then all Israel will be saved. So all Israel being saved is, it's all those that are natural branches that never had the unbelief that some of them did and were cut off for, and then it's all those that are the natural branches that were cut off but then came back and were grafted back in, and then it's also those that are the wild branches that are grafted in. So it's any of those people. It's all by faith, and it's all, everybody's included, but it's all grafted into Israel. So I don't know. So I mean, I think it's nice to just look at the actual scripture there and see what it says. And
you always, whenever you read Romans 11, you always need to remember Ephesians chapter 2, because it's saying the same thing, but it's just a beautiful passage. Ephesians 2:11, it says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, and that's who we're talking to, Gentiles, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You weren't part of Israel, and you were strangers from the covenants of promise, because you weren't Israel, because the promise was made to Israel. So you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and you were strangers for the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So it says the same thing that Romans 11 says. It says that you have been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel, and now the good news is that now you are also members of that covenant of which all the promises apply to. That's an amazing thing. That is his amazing grace right there for us.
It is. And those verses, they follow the verse that is, you know, most well-known to everybody, which is Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So he's just establishing it's by grace through faith. It's open to those that are far off, and it's open to those that are near. And then in verse 19, he says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
Amen.
Right. So I would like to add to this, because we get the big outline of the picture. You know, starts in Hebrews, where the writer's equating to this new covenant being the same as Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel, which I believe that it is. So I'm not saying that it isn't. But when I say if this, then else that. Right. So it. That's the way the logic flows. But we have 2 Corinthians 3:3, right, where it says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. But this is a reference to Ezekiel, where it says that I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, you shall keep them, and this will be on your heart. So I'm paraphrasing this part, right? But where it says, but I will put my Spirit into their heart, that they shall not depart from me. I believe it's the same. It's the same thing. But why does it have to be different, right? If we look back at Ezekiel, once again, it says that I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. This is the same reference that's being talked about in 2 Corinthians. He's saying, because this has happened to you, your stony heart has been removed. Your hardened heart has been removed. And I've given you a new heart, the tables of the fleshly heart, the tables of the fleshly heart. So these are the things that are written in the heart, that now you don't have a hardened heart towards God because you're part of this new covenant. So, I mean, I believe it's the same covenant. But if we establish that, then you automatically come to the conclusion that Andrew already has. And that conclusion is, well, then the judgments and the statutes that I have to keep as a quote-unquote new covenant Christian are the same ones that the house of Israel and the house of Judah has to keep. And then kicks in our filter and says, well, no, that can't be because I don't have to keep those things, right? And that's really the issue. So then the question is then begged, well, then is it a new covenant with different conditions, different requirements? And if so, then why is the reference made to Ezekiel and Jeremiah? Because I'll be okay with them being a different covenant since I'm part of the house of Judah. I'm okay with that because then, you know, I'm going to do that anyway. But you got to show me it. Oh, you know, why is this reference continually referencing Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah about the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, and these being predicated upon keeping his judgments, his commandments, so on and so forth? So it's either the same or it's different. And if it's different, then we don't get to reference these other ones because they're not tied to it.
Yeah. You know, I just got an email that I could read here real quick. It says, the new covenant was not made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah in Jeremiah 31. It was prophesied that it would be offered to Israel. And when Messiah came, it was offered to Israel if they believed on Jesus Christ. Up until he came, it had not been revealed that the covenant would be offered to the Gentiles on the same basis that it was offered to Israel. In the new covenant, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, but, and then in parentheses, no more identity by ethnicity. So there was neither Jew nor Gentile, but a new creature, one new man. So that's the email that just came in.
Okay. But here's the problem with emails. People are, like, listening and not engaging, is you don't get to be well-rounded in the question or well-rounded in the answer. So the problem is here. It says, it doesn't say, I'm going to offer you a chance at this new covenant. It says, I will make. That is a done deal. You will make the new covenant. And that new covenant will be with the house of Judah and the house of Israel. There's no other way to interpret it. That it's not this, well, maybe if you do this, then I'll make a covenant with you. No, this is a done deal. I will do it. It has been done. Okay?
You still have to agree to the terms, though. He didn't just make a new covenant for the house of Israel and the house of Judah, and automatically they're in it. They have to agree to the terms of the new covenant, just like they had to agree at Sinai and say, I will keep it.
Yeah, so every covenant, every agreement is made with two parties. Okay? So when he says, I will make a new covenant with you, that's already established. It's a done deal, right? So then you have two parties.
It's a done deal that he offered it, yeah. But
no,
if they accept
it's a done deal that he made it. No, it's a done deal that he made it. It's done. He says, I will make this. It's done. I'm not going to offer you. It would say, I'd offer you. He says, I'm going to make this. And in the Hebrew, it says, this is done. It's prophecy. It's done. Period. So there's no semantics involved here. He made a covenant with the house of Israel and made a covenant with the house of Judah, and this was done. So that's the first part of this. The second part of that is, when we get into these things of the new man, I agree. There is a new man. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, right? But then do we say there's also neither male or female, right? Because that's the context. So if there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no man, there's no female. We have to follow that logic all the way out. Or do we understand that when you say, look, there's no, it's neither Jew nor Gentile, it's one new man in Christ Jesus. And this is also a prophecy of the two sticks. This is a prophecy of the two houses. And he says there will no longer be a separation between the two houses, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The house of Israel was banished to the nations, also known as the Gentiles. The house of Israel became the nations because they were cut off from the people. So he says there will no longer be the two men, the house of Judah and the house of Israel. There will only be one new man. And the only way to be that one new man, that new creature, is through Christ. So just as it is for the nations, so shall it be for the Jew. There's no other way to enter it. But the Jew can't enter into this new covenant by only virtue of keeping the commandments. Just by keeping the commandments, you're not part of it. It's the only way to be part of it is to enter through Yeshua. And then you can become the new man. That's neither of the house of Judah or the house of... And that's the new covenant. And that's how it's opened up to everybody. Because as he came for the lost sheep of Israel, because they were driven to the nations, he also opened the door for everyone else to say, yeah, I will make you my God. You will be my God, and they will be my people, the same way Ruth did.
Yeah, it does seem like even in what we read in Ephesians 2, and I know that there's some verses that are taken in various ways, but what is very clear is that there was a division between these people. And that he came and preached peace to those who were far off and to those who were near. And through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So it does seem very, very clear that that's what he put to death, was this enmity that existed between these two people, these two groups. And so I think it's kind of like with the email, like for me, the first part where it says the new covenant was not made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah in Jeremiah 31, I have to say, well, yes, it absolutely was, because that's what it says. And then it says it again in Hebrews. It says, you know, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. So it, like, you know, it doesn't say that it's offered or whatever. But I guess what I'm saying is that doesn't negate the rest of it. The new creature, the one new man, that's what he was doing. The Jew and the Gentile together create one new man, like you referenced there, Sean, in Ezekiel with the two sticks. So, in other words, the one being true or not being true doesn't negate, you know, the fact that there is one new man.
Well, you know, this idea that the prophecy in Jeremiah 31 isn't going to come true, that prophecy was just an offer, that it's conditional, I guess, a conditional prophecy, that the conditions weren't met. Let's read that for a second. Let's see if Jeremiah 31 is a conditional prophecy that is not going to be fulfilled. The email said that the prophecy in Jeremiah 31 was just an offer. It was conditional, and it said, if Israel does this, I'm going to do this. But they didn't, so it's not going to come true. But let me read this. Let's just see if that stands up, because what you're saying, Andrew, and what whoever wrote the email is saying that that was just an offer. It's not a promise. And it's not going to happen as written. Let's just see. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Keeps going down. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord Yahweh. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord Yahweh, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Verse 35. Here comes the, let's see if this is conditional. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, from before me, says the Lord Yahweh, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord Yahweh. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord Yahweh, that the city shall be built for the Lord Yahweh from the Tower of Hananel to the corner gate. And it goes on and on and on. So I think it's interesting that he says, if only if the heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out, will this not happen? And obviously, we know that that's impossible. It sounds surefire, 100%. You can bank on this prophecy and his prophet Jeremiah.
Well, we know that when the new covenant came, he came unto his own, and they received him not. And blindness in part was put on them for that reason, until the fullness of the Gentiles. We're not saying that Jeremiah 31:31 is never going to be fulfilled. It's being fulfilled right now before our very eyes. But the question is, how do you enter into that covenant? And that's by faith. And when you're in that covenant, what law do you keep? The law of faith. It's not when you come into this new covenant of house of Israel and house of Judah that you have this long list of to-dos and not-to-dos.
Maybe I misunderstood what the email said.
Yeah, no, it says, the first sentence is, the new covenant was not made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah in Jeremiah 31. So that part, I mean, I have to totally disagree with it. It says very plainly that he will make, I will make it, and it's like Jeff just read. I mean, that part seems, it doesn't seem to fit. Then the next sentence says, it was prophesied that it would be offered to Israel, and when Messiah came, it was offered to Israel if they believed on Jesus Christ. Up until he came, it had not been revealed that the covenant would be offered to the Gentiles on the same basis that it was offered to Israel. In the new covenant, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, but no more identity by ethnicity, but a new creation or a new creature, one new man.
So in other words, when that covenant was offered, when he came to his own, they received him not. So they rejected that offer. We know that because they hung him on the cross. So in due time, after the fullness of the Gentiles and the gospel's gone out to the world and everybody's in, then that's the fulfilling of the Jeremiah 31:31.
Then that means that it is made with Israel and Judah, whereas the email said it is definitely not made with Israel and Judah. It makes no sense.
It's still offered to everyone. The new covenant, that's kind of one of, I think, the beauties of the new covenant, is that those who were far off can become near. Not that that wasn't ever available before, because it's always been available, as we've seen many examples with Ruth and Caleb and others that were, grafted in long time ago, and some of them who even fell in the lineage of the Messiah, which is wild. And it's really neat. It's wonderful. I'm so glad it happened that way, and that he, made it that way, so that we can see. Oh, okay, it can't be, this bloodline thing, only, or at all. I mean, that's not what it's about. It's not that. It is, by faith. And
like Rahab.
Yeah, Rahab. Exactly. And so, do you see, Andrew? So I'm just curious. When I look at that, when I read that email, when it says that the covenant was not made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, do you see where I totally disagree with that statement? I'm some of the rest of the email, I think the idea is that in order for some of the rest of the stuff, you have one new man, one new creature, so therefore it wasn't made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I don't go with that thinking. I think that, in other words, that statement is not true. The rest of it, I think, some of it I agree with, but it's just not exclusive. In other words, just because there is a new man doesn't mean it's not made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. That is the new man, is the joining of the house of Israel and the house of Judah. That's like the whole thing.
Well, it comes back to the original question, who is Israel? We know not all of Israel is Israel. So
yeah.
Israel is of the household of faith. So, I mean, that
yeah,
new man is Israel.
Yeah, the new man is not Israel, it's not Judah, but it is, right? So you have the physical line of Israel, who is the natural, and they have an inheritance of promise. There was a promise that was made to Abraham, and this new man is also part of that promise. So you have a physical line, and they have a promise of the land. So there's certain things that will never be taken away. Forever. And then you have this other Israel, that's the true Israel, and that's the Israel of faith. Whether they're of the lineage, the bloodline lineage, or whether they're just purely of the faith lineage, and they don't even have an inkling of a drop of Hebrew blood. And they're also going to be part of this new man as well, which is also part of the promise to Abraham. So, and both get an inheritance. But one of the brother that was already there, the natural brother, has more of an inheritance than the unnatural brother or the adopted brother, right? So they have promises that were given to them before this adopted brother came into play. And that's the best way to look at it, in my opinion. But you know, let me address this email. I want to address it through the Hebrew. I'm going to read this portion in Hebrew. It's Jeremiah 31:31. It says, Hine yamim boim neum Yehovah vekarati et bait Yisrael. So to break it down, we have Hine, and that means behold. Then we have yamim is the days. So it says, behold, days come. Neum, Yehovah. Neum is utters. So, Hine yamim bo'im Neum Yehovah. So, behold, days come, God utters. What does he utter? Then we have ve'karati. And this says, will cut. Now, this is a verb. It's very important. This verb, will cut. That's what we're getting the translation, will make. That somehow in the email is being interpreted as, this is an offering. I will offer you. And that's not what it says. It says, I will cut. This is call perfect. It means it's been done. As it's been said, it's been done. It's in the perfect sense, right? It's not past perfect. It's not future perfect. It's perfect. So it's call perfect. First commune singular, and it means that it's been done. As he said it, it's as if it was done right then and there. So it's not an offer. This is something that's tangible. And we see it past tense with empirical data because it's still being done. That means it started, it's been done. So the covenant was made with the house of Israel and it was made with the house of Judah and it's still being made because it's perfect sense.
So the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah are in the covenant?
It doesn't say that.
Are you saying that the whole house of it, because he cut it, and it's a made done deal, is the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, which you're speaking about in Jeremiah 31:31, are they in that covenant now? That's what I'm asking.
The whole house, no. They're not in that covenant. But that's who the covenant was made with.
And you know what? For the recording, we have to wrap it up here pretty quick. And I just wanted to give, if anybody has like a 10, 15 second statement, and we can pick it up right here next time. And so if you're listening again, you can hear these conference calls, and you can join us on the conference call by visiting the website truthrestoration.com. But if you have a last statement that you want to get out here on the air to everybody, then please go for it.
This is Bill. I think one of the things that Sean has hit on there is points to the statement where you could say that Messiah was slain from the foundation of the earth, you see, because once Yahweh says that something's going to happen, like Sean alluded to there, it's going to happen. And when he's cut the covenant there, meaning Messiah's blood would be shed, that's what that's referring to, because he is the blood of the new covenant. And so when you say that is perfect in that sense in the Hebrew, it's a done deal. He was slain from the foundation of the earth. Once that first Adam failed the test, the second Adam, the last Adam, Messiah Yeshua, had to come and restore all things. And he is the blood of the new covenant.
Yeah.
One thing I think is being questioned is how do you enter into the covenant? And the disciples and Messiah said you must receive the Spirit. So you don't just believe something, you have to first repent, which is a recognition of your sin or violation of the law, and then you have to be baptized, which is symbolically a commitment to put to death your sinfulness, and then receive the promised Spirit. And that's where it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15 through 17, it says, the Spirit also says, this is the covenant that I will make with them. I will put my laws in your mind and write them on your heart, and then I will remember their sins no more. And that's the same thing it's promising in Jeremiah, that's what the Eternal has promised. He has promised to pour out his Spirit to everyone. that is the covenant, and you enter into it through repentance and receiving the Spirit. So the other point I wanted to make is in red letters, Messiah said, Matthew 5, chapter 17 through 21, that he did not do away with the law or the prophets. So that should be at least some evidence that he did not do away with the former covenant law or the prophets. And he said to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. So there's no change in the law itself, but that law must be written in your heart and mind through the Spirit that you have to receive through repentance and faith, faithful obedience.
Okay. Well, Sean, did you want to have a last statement?
I had one. This is Philip. It was only on clarification of the covenant. I guess I'm looking at the covenant as it exists with the Father. It's for all those that have accepted him, that believe in him, and obey his commandments and principles. Just as Ruth the Moabite, as many of the others from other nations that came into the covenant promise, Rahab, Ruth, and so forth. So the key is the covenant for still Israel? Yes. And all of Israel are those that have forsaken those things of the past, repented, and have adopted the principles of the Father.
Absolutely. So is Rahab part of Israel? Absolutely. Yes. Right? And so, no, very good. Good deal. Hey, Jeff or Sean, did you guys have a last thought just to close out the recording here? Jeff, did you have any last thing, or Sean?
No, I'm good.
Sure. Yeah, so in closing, I just want to say my conclusion is that it's the same covenant, the new covenant of Hebrews, referencing Jeremiah. It's the same covenant, it's the same blood, the same lamb. There's only one new covenant, and it's made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And then part of the house of Israel, I believe, is the people that aren't of any lineage of the house of Israel, but they come in just like the pattern of Egypt when the Mizraim left Egypt and they bound themselves to Jehovah. They weren't part of the numbers of Israel, but they were added to the numbers of Israel. And I think it's the same.
Very good. Anybody else that wanted to just get a last quick thought in before we close out the recording and then continue on?
Hi, this is Tom. Peter had a neat experience when he saw the vision of the unclean animals lowered to him, and the Eternal said, "What I have cleansed, let no man call unclean." And Peter realized that it was the Gentiles were being called into that covenant, and I believe it was Cornelius and his family. But Cornelius was already keeping the Sabbath and following the laws that he had learned from the Jewish people. He was even supporting the Jewish synagogues and everything like that, but he wasn't really familiar with the Messiah and didn't understand salvation. So the Eternal sent him a servant to Peter to be converted to receiving the Spirit. But when Peter got there and he started preaching the message of salvation through Messiah, the Spirit was already poured out on them because they were already law-abiding. They were Sabbath keepers. They were being converted in their hearts and minds. So Peter said, well, now I see what that symbolism of the unclean animals meant, is do not call something unclean that the Eternal is actually cleansing for the Spirit. He's cleaning them up. He's bringing them back, or bringing them to the knowledge of the law. Just like it said in Jeremiah that no one shall teach his brother, but all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. So the Spirit is convicting people gradually of their sin and bringing them to obedience to the covenant law. That's a promise. The Eternal is going to do it.
Well, very good. Well, hey, thank you guys for being a part of it. And again, if you are listening, you'd like to join us, visit the website truthrestoration.com to find out how. Contact us through the website, and we will look forward to seeing you next time.
You've been listening to the Truth Restoration Bible Study Conference Call. Thanks for listening. To join the conversation next week, visit our website at truthrestoration.com. Also, we would love to hear your feedback. Contact us at truthrestoration.com. Have a great day, and God bless you.